Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers as we continue our tour of the Assembly. Ray Hager has the rundown.
Thanks, Sam. Today's guest is Assemblyman David Bobzien of Washoe County, one of the county's top legislators.
And coming up on the Power Pundit panel today, Chris Wicker, Trey Abney, and Guy Rocha. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI Water and Sewer Companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are always pleased to welcome to the program David Bobzien. He is the Assemblyman for District 24. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thanks for having me.
The live entertainment tax, is it going to fly?
Well, there's a lot of packages on the table. We had the hearing this week, and we heard a lot of the concerns, but we heard a lot about the direction intended by the speaker with this package. She's been working really hard in this session on that package, trying to look at what is widely seen as a failed system right now and trying to clean that up. And it really gets down to the exemptions and trying to understand how you can make this a better system. So, that plan's out on the table. We have some plans out on the table on the Senate side. We all sort of understand just what the funding needs are, so now it comes down to trying to bring that package together and move forward with something that's going to fund the services needed for the state.
It was interesting. Michelle Fiore was on the program yesterday, and she said that she would be in favor of charging, for example, the larger groups like Burning Man and Electric Daisy Carnival. And I made the point that, they're not going to run away from Nevada. A, they have such a big base and a huge financial success here. But also the tickets are very, very expensive. And that 8% cost is not going to kill anybody who already wants to go to these festivals.
Well, we're going to hear, I think, from a lot of those different interests as to just what the impact would be. I mean, I know that Burning Man, for example, is one entity that's been at the table to have this discussion. They sort of understand that, the situation that Nevada is in, whether or not they're comfortable with that 8% levy, I think that remains to be seen. To varying degrees, we're seeing interest understanding that we have to do something to make this fair, broad, and equitable.
And how does the governor feel about this?
We're sort of hearing mixed messages. The governor, I think he has a different view of just what the needs are. He seems very content with the additional money that education has just because of growth in student populations and caseload growth and other services. We have our targeted targeted initiatives, full-day kindergarten, expanding ELL even farther than where the governor wants to go. And, you know, now's the time to have those frank discussions.
As we look at all of the economic indicators, it looks like Nevada is on exactly the right track to land in a great financial place where government would get a lot of money in the next couple of years. Is there a thought to, you know, and I think this is where the governor's coming from, that the natural growth in the state is going to take care of a lot of the problems that we're dealing with? We just have to bide our time a little.
Well, there's a tension there. I mean, there's some analysis that says we still have a structural deficit given the structure of taxes and revenues that we have right now, that even with recovery, recovery is going to fuel demand on services, and it's going to bring in more tax revenue. But are those two going to come together or not? And so I think that now is exactly the time to have that structural discussion of things are getting better, we're seeing the indicators. Before things get red hot, let's make sure we have our house in order so that we can prepare for this prosperity.
You know, David, getting back to this live entertainment tax proposal, as you know, this could have a dramatic effect on Reno's special events agenda or schedule, which is huge in our tourism market. Number one, the Reno Rodeo brought to the point that they are 501c4, and they donate all the money they make after expenses to the Reno Rodeo Foundation, which is a 501c3. As a 501c4, they are not exempt from this tax, so they're concerned that it's going to have less money available for the charities that they support because of this tax. And it's not only the Reno Rodeo that is in this predicament. It is things like Hot August Nights and many more of the special events in Reno. Do you think a exemption can be made for these 501c4 groups that give all their money to charity?
Well, I'll say two things on that. As someone who works in the nonprofit sector, whose job is to work with small nonprofits and help them do good things for their communities, I am particularly sensitive to that potential impact. That's something that I'll be looking at. And I also agree that we are very dependent on special events in Northern Nevada. We heard concerns expressed by Mayor Cashel. I think that that's something that needs to be out on the table in terms of that perspective. But, you know, again, we're looking for, you know, if you do start making exemptions, where do you make them? Because I think for every example, every Reno Rodeo example, you can probably find other examples of people using the tax code and nonprofits to potentially, you know, shield their liability to make contributions to the state. So, again, I mean, my concern with prosperity for Northern Nevada in particular is that, you know, what are we doing to fund our schools? What are we doing to fund our very real capital needs in the state, or in the county, and making sure that we have those services in place that are going to bring families here, bring businesses here, and make sure that people want to stay and invest in Nevada?
One of the things that Speaker Kirkpatrick told us a couple of weeks ago when she was on the program was there really are not going to be any major capital projects over the next biennium.
Well, at the state level, that's very true. I have in the past sat on the CIP subcommittee for the Interim Finance Committee, and we always sort of joke that we don't really need to meet that often because there's just not that much happening. We have some projects here and there in the budget to take care of some deferred maintenance needs, but yeah, overall, we're not going to see a lot at the state level. Of course, in Washoe County, with our school district, that's another big issue that we're facing this session, trying to deal with some very real needs where we're caught in this gap right now that the bonding authority is just not there. And so the normal rollover that we would be pursuing right now with mm-hmm. the voters is just not an option. So hopefully we're going to take care of that situation in the county.
Okay, more with David Bobzini when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the summit on South Virginia.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I proudly sit on the board of the Nevada Youth Empowerment Project. Northern Nevada's homeless youth population is growing, and fast. It is estimated that there may be hundreds of homeless teens living in Washoe County. NYEP is a local transition home for homeless girls aged 17 to 21. NYEP has received a $37,000 challenge grant that must be matched by June 1st. Don't leave these girls on the street. Please donate today at nvyep.org.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the summit on South Virginia.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Assemblyman David Bobzien.
David, you are the main sponsor for the Comprehensive Sex Education Bill, which is probably one of the most controversial
It's been
bills.
Called that. Yep.
And one of the things that I want to talk to you about is that if this bill were to pass, each district can choose who they want to teach the sex education classes. Now, the people on the right, Janine Hansen and the Equal Forum, they're concerned that this means that Planned Parenthood would be teaching our children sex education classes. They are dead set against that. But really, that seems like a red herring because, well, if you could explain why that
sure,
is a red
sure.
herring.
Well, you know, I've been trying to work with all the sides on this issue. I recognize that it's an uncomfortable topic for folks to deal with, but I've always maintained that, you know, the current statute was created in the 90s. Things have definitely changed a lot in those decades that have passed, and now is the time to modernize and make sure that we're mm-hmm. being comprehensive, that we're teaching medically accurate information, and frankly, to bring the standards process into line with how we teach all the other topics in our schools. That particular issue of the flexibilities that the school districts should have in selecting how they teach those classes and who they go to teach those classes, that's the core of that. The bill opens it up so that it's not just the school nurse or the teacher, but if a school district says, hey, we have this need, we have this curriculum, who can we find in the community to teach it, they would have that flexibility to make that determination. It's important to understand that it still comes down to the school district board of trustees. So if the school district board of trustees wants to have that fight to bring in someone controversial to teach the class, you know, that would be their jurisdiction. But I think, quite frankly, what this does is just says, hey, if there's a retired medical professional that could teach this, mm-hmm. maybe they could get that contract. It's just about making sure that the resources are there to deliver the information that's needed.
Okay, now there's another school bill that I wanted to talk to you about, AB 46, which you, of course, you know, would increase sales and property taxes in Washoe County to use for school refurbishments because, as you know, the Washoe inventory of schools is getting pretty dilapidated, old schools. But this is what shocked me. In Ways and Means, early in the week, this bill was heard, and they asked for amendments. Nobody said anything. And at the same time this meeting's going on, Assembly Minority Leader Pat Hickey sends out an email saying that he wants to change the bill. It's to enable the Washoe County Commission to instead make the decision to raise taxes. It seemed I was just blown away with the strategy of that, not mentioning in the Ways and Means Committee. What is your, you know, you've been working on this too a lot, and then to throw a curveball at everybody like that.
Right. No, it's a great baseball analogy. I think it's important to understand sort of the preseason story here. When we were down in spring training before the start of the session, we met all interim long as a delegation, Democrats and Republicans in Washoe County, and we met with the businesses, we met with concerned parents and teachers about how to deal with this need for the district. This all comes about because of the fact that we have this current inequity in the structure, in that in Clark County, you've got a room tax levy that's available for this purpose. You have real estate transfer tax that's available for this purpose. In Washoe County, we've been singled out. We don't have that. And so rather than just saying, okay, let's put together a bill that brings us in the line there, then you run into problems of we're too industry specific, we're singling people out. So we settled and negotiated on this combination of the sales tax and the property tax. So then we get to opening day, and it seems like everything kind of goes sideways on us. My concern about that specific proposal to give it to the Washoe County, to the commission, is that there's no nexus there. The county commission is not ultimately responsible for the schools. The school board is. The county commission does, you know, senior services and you know, the sheriff's department and other things like that. So I don't understand what the connection would be with the county commission and the schools. The legislature has the responsibility for uniform common schools in our constitution.
But isn't it an oversight question?
Absolutely, it's an oversight question, and I think it's important to note that you know, you have an elected school board. The package would be very specific for refurbishments, and it would certainly be in the best interest of the school board to be very judicious with how they spend this money, knowing that at some point many years into the future, we're going to be going back to the voters for the rollover bond. So in these intervening years where we just don't have that bonding capacity and we have to deal with these needs, I think the elected school board is wonderful oversight to make sure that these dollars are spent appropriately.
Okay, but here's the thing that I would throw out there just as a last thought, which is that if you were to ask people in Washoe County to, or any county in the state, to name their county commissioners, with maybe the exception of Story County and Elko County, most people would have a hard time naming those commissioners. When it comes to the school board, wow. So I really don't know that people, you know, looking at this, would feel that the school board itself had the power to make that decision.
Well, and I would also say that most people don't know those state legislators either. That's sort of the anonymity of
you mean you, could, you would know that.
You mean you can go shopping and not get hounded by autograph seekers?
Well, I get hounded at the railies about issues in the legislature. It's the best place to meet your constituents.
Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. We will be following closely. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this time out.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Every day I help people hurt in accidents. Do you know the compensation you're entitled to right now and in the future? Do you need my help?
Go lightly in Vanna. 222-3333.
Doesn't want lower taxes.
More Furniture for Less has a great tax plan for you.
This Wednesday and Thursday, we'll pay not one, but two times the discount equal to your tax.
Savings on bedrooms, living rooms, dining rooms, and 0% financing for 2 years.
So vote for low prices and lower taxes.
Two big days, two times the reasons to shop.
Two times the discount.
0% financing for 2 years.
At More Furniture for Less, this Wednesday and Thursday.
A new day is dawning in Nevada. A day that puts you in charge of your finances. A day when one financial institution can provide you with the cash you need. Loans custom tailored to fit your situation. Check cashing and gold buying services when you don't need a loan at all. Money orders free every day. It's all about you and your financial needs. Experience the Check City difference.
The Nevada Dream Tag Program thinks local by raising money for the protection and restoration of Nevada habitats. Money spent on tickets stays in Nevada, helping boost our economy. Nevada Dream Tags, thinking local because we are Nevada proud.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great PowerPundit panel. As always, Guy Rocha is here, the former Nevada State Archivist. Chris Wicker is a spokesman for the Washoe Dems. And Trey Abney is Director of Government Relations for the Chamber. Ray, on the 16th, the morning of the 16th, where are we with this session?
Well, it seems like we're kind of in an alternative universe here. I think it's, although it is marching toward the end, I don't see any big taxes getting approved. I think this is a kind of a session where you pay the bills, you balance the budget, and you get out of Dodge. And, you know, sometimes that's all you can expect from the Nevada legislature.
We're all running around with our hair on fire to get to the exactly the same point we've had in the past two sessions, which is you're not going to have enough Republicans to vote for tax increases, so Democrats aren't going to vote for reforms, and so you're going to come out of here with a governor's rec budget with some twists and turns and some changes to it, but pretty status quo.
And people will complain that they kicked the can down the road.
Right.
I raised the issue with Senator Bobzien, which was that, you know, we are looking at a remarkable turnaround in the state's economy. Housing is now taking off like a rocket again. You're seeing huge investment, especially in southern Nevada. Businesses feel more confident in northern Nevada. Chris, you know, is it a question of do we just study everything for another 2 years and then look where we are as far in terms of money available 2 years from now?
I think that might be where we end up, but I don't think that's a smart policy. I tend to agree with David that when you have growth that may ultimately catch up and improve the revenue picture, I think what I've seen is usually the services demand comes first, and it takes a while for the revenue to catch up. And so if we just end up kicking the can down the road, I think we're going to have trouble for more than 2 years. We may have trouble for 4 years until ultimately those revenues catch up with the population. But for the particularly in the casino industry, for them to grow and boom, you have to bring the people here, and very often there's services, expensive services associated with that first before the revenues.
Guy, as you look at this from a historical perspective, is it possible to even compare this with any previous session just because of term limits and the turnover?
Well, certainly that's changed the complexion in, you know, the past decade or so. But there's been times when we've reached this juncture before. We end up with a maintenance budget and waiting two more years, and the kick the can down the road is the critique that you're going to hear. Fundamentally, yes, I think we're moving towards prosperity, but we're at least 2 years and possibly 4 years away from seeing that permeate through the system and through the various governments. So you're asking the citizens of Nevada, well, look, you've been through five. Can you wait two more? Okay, and I think on the Democratic side, they said, well, we can't wait two more. And on the Republican side, they're saying, we have to grow the economy. We'll get there.
Okay, but the role of the governor here is that it doesn't look to me like he's going to give in on anything.
I don't think he is. I personally don't. I don't see any indication.
That's the frustrating part, is that you spend a lot of work to come up with a more broad-based tax system, for example, the entertainment tax or perhaps even expanding the modified business tax. But you spend a lot of work doing that, but you have the governor at the end of the road saying, well, I'm going to veto that. And it's a very frustrating process.
Well, he's a strong executive, and his idea, and he is running for re-election next year, is that we have to grow the grow out of this recession. And to his credit, he's put almost a $500 million back into the K-12 education system that was not there in the last biennium budget. I think that gives him a strong base to run on, and I see the governor easily winning re-election.
That'll be his argument. The Democrats argue that it's actually a lot of that is just growth in student population and utility costs and everything else, so it's not all new money and new programs, which is what they would argue. The governor's argued since he's been in office, we're going to grow our way out. Like Guy mentioned, we're going to grow our way out of this economy. He talks about the gaming numbers and the sales tax numbers that have been up the last couple months, last year or so, and then talks about the new jobs, especially in northern Nevada with Edon bringing in all these companies, and he's going to run for election on that. Look, I didn't raise taxes. His thing on Facebook now is better schools, no new taxes.
In the meantime, you have kids going to school with the reduced resources. You have everything else happening that's for, you know, continue losing state employees with the massive cuts they've had. You know, you have the universities still losing some of their treasured educators and professors. And so, you know, you can say, okay, it's only 2 years. Well, a lot of bad things can happen in 2 years.
Right, but I mean, at the same time, you know, you've had good educators leave here just for better jobs. And if we're going to get into that kind of battle, I think Nevada's going to be on the losing end of that because we're never going to have the money.
You know, what I'm concerned about is that, okay, we're not going to raise any new taxes with the governor's stance, but frankly, we're leaving a lot of good money on the table. I mean, there are some good tax proposals that could gain the state a lot of new revenue, like the live entertainment tax, closing a lot of those loopholes, and we're not going to do anything with that.
Well, my concern, you know, as we look towards the next 2 years or four, perhaps, and we've been through five, is the competitive disadvantage that we have with a state like Utah that made some moves in 2006 with USTAR and the rest. I look at Colorado, I look at New Mexico, I look at Texas. My concern is we're continuing to farther and farther behind other states in the way they've addressed their problems. They were proactive and they moved on it. I'm particularly impressed with what Utah has done, and they're vibrant.
They have put up a lot of money for that.
Yes, they did. They invested. It's called investment. And it's primarily a Republican state, but they pulled together in the state of Utah. And, of course, there's an interesting culture that drives that economy.
Different culture there. Yeah.
And that's where we got to leave it. Thank you all very much. We will continue to watch. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this time out.
Get the best clam linguine in town at Scampi. Make your reservation tonight. Our lasagna, ravioli, and gnocchi are homemade fresh every day. The best seafood and pasta selection is at 425 South Virginia. Scampi, Reno's new dining spot.
At Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, we know you need health insurance that covers your family as they grow.
Sorry, Dad.
I'm good.
And if you don't get health insurance through work...
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield offers coverage your family can count on.
Whoa, slow down, Chief.
Especially parents. Whether you need basic coverage for yourself or more protection for your family, Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield offers a variety of coverage options for different needs and budgets. If you're self-employed, retiring early, or can't get health coverage at work, call Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield today for a free quote. Call 1-800-868-0714 or visit anthemforhealth.com to compare plans and apply.
Did you get that number?
I wrote it down.
Affordable coverage from a name you can trust. Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
News 4's Fact Finder team, winner of the Edward R. Murrow Award and now nominated for an Emmy. Our Silver State Secret Stories shed light on legal loopholes and government secrets. News 4, your home for investigative journalism in Northern Nevada and the Sierra. News 4's Joe Hart, working for you.
Getting answers to the questions you ask the most.
Submit your questions to jhart@mynews4.com. And remember to put Ask Joe in the subject line. Ask Joe, weeknights on News 4 at 6. For the latest in health and your care, tune in to Wellness Wednesdays on the News 4 Forum, brought to you by St. Mary's Regional Medical Center. Watch Joe Hart and Shelby Sheehan, weeknights on News 4.
Thanks for watching. Guests next week include Senator Reuben Kuhn and Assemblywoman Dina Dillon.
We'll see you on the next broadcast.